You're listening to Dialogue from Illinois Soul. Dialogue is an exchange about culture straight from the soul. I'm Reginald Hardwick. Recently, there have been protests against the Trump administration throughout America and here in central Illinois. But many Black activists say we need to stay on the sidelines.
We've carried democracy long enough. Don't expect us to keep saving it if it won't save us.
I know you guys are seeing all of the video footage and the pictures from the protests that took place all across the country on Monday, and I see some of y'all getting antsy. Sit tight. We still on break.
If they can incite us to go out into the streets and protest, then we're seen as a threat. And law enforcement and wannabe Kyle Rittenhouses and people like the pardon January 6th insurrectionists will have an excuse to unleash violence on us.
Those were the social media posts from various Black influencers who say they voted in the November election, but are staying home and concentrating on their mental health instead of protesting in the streets. One person also taking a similar path is Rabbi Sandra Lawson, Director of Racial Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Reconstructing Judaism, the central organization of the Jewish Reconstructionist Movement. Her recent Substack essay is entitled, Why Some Black Folks Are Sitting This One Out, and That's Okay. Rabbi Sandra Lawson recently talked with me for an episode of The 21st Show.
Well, my essay was more of a commentary of what I was witnessing online. You know, Black TikTok, for example, which I enjoy. Just the creativity and humor that some of the creators use when describing some of the cultural issues in our society. I work in a predominantly white environment. My colleagues are predominantly white, and I know many of them were protesting. And I had a feeling that many might ask me at some point why there were a lack of Black protesters out in the streets. And I also know that I'm in multiple conversations that my colleagues are not in. And so I decided to write the piece, and I was actually kind of surprised that so many people read it. And I think it just sort of reflects our time period. And one of the things that I was seeing was many Black creators and activists for safety reasons, being tired, and then maybe feeling that it might be time for white folks to take the lead on some of these protests.
It reminds me a little bit about 5 years ago when there were so many protests after the murder of George Floyd.
Right.
And while, yes, Black people were out on the streets, they were also really talking with white people about being more responsible to talk about systemic racism.
Right.
What makes this time different?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, at least from my vantage point, I have not watched as a, you know, a 50 plus year old Black woman. I was really hurt, saddened, I'm not sure which adjectives to use, after the election. And I have not watched news since the election. I've read the news. Most of my news I get now, I just read. Or I listen to NPR in my car, and I'm smiling, laughing because this is NPR that I'm talking to. I just can't. And I've tried to watch cable news a few times, and I just turn it off because I get kind of sick to my stomach. But again, I think what's happening for a lot of people, when you look at the exit polls and the demographic data that came out from 2016 plus this election, the 2016 election and this past election, overwhelmingly white folks, white men in particular, and white women voted for the man in the office, currently holding public office, presidential office, and not for the former vice president. And then when you look at who did vote for Harris, you know, overwhelmingly again and again and again, Black folks and also Jews. And I think that for many people, myself included, it's just sort of like, here we go again. And watching many, many white folks vote against their own best interest. That's my opinion.
And I have some of those statistics with me. According to the Associated Press analysis of the 2024 presidential results, 89% of Black women and 59% of Latinas voted for Kamala Harris. 53% of white women voted for Donald Trump. On the other side of the gender spectrum, 74% of Black men and half of Latino men voted for Harris, while 60% of white men voted for Trump. The recent hands-off protests have been seeing a lack of representation from people of color, as we've talked about. Do you see some Black voters still trying to reconcile, you know, whether I show up or even though there are so many influencers saying, let's take care of our mental health, let's stay at home?
Yeah, I think there's that. But I think there's also there's lots of ways to protest. There's lots of ways that are effective means of protesting that don't involve marching in the streets and carrying signs. And what I do see is, for example, I turned on my phone, and I don't know the details, but I turned on my phone and it said that Reverend Al Sharpton was, I guess, having a conversation with Target executives and about, you know, to sort of, I guess, deal with the protest. So there's this protest against Target, led largely by Black Christian churches. And that's a form of protest, and that's active action. And I think what's happening now is that Black people are using their capital, using their voices in other ways that may not be involved, they may not be marching in the streets. And one of the things I wrote in my piece that, you know, for anyone that didn't want to march or do those protests, that was okay. Take care of your own mental health. And there's other ways to actively call out this administration and to put pressure on this administration.
And as you just mentioned, Target CEO Brian Cornell recently met with civil rights leader Reverend Al Sharpton to discuss the company's decision to roll back DEI programs. And the discussion comes as the big box retailer faces calls for a boycott and a slump in foot traffic that began soon after it announced its plans to walk away from some DEI initiatives. So you see that as effective?
I do. I do. And, you know, it was also because I just spent part of my pulpit, I guess, is social media. And another thing I see happening right now is farmers who, I guess, didn't understand how their vote would impact their government funding, are jumping on TikTok, asking for help, and then people are asking, who did you vote for? And they said they voted for, some of these people voted for Trump. And other folks too who are upset about the tariffs, and they have small businesses and they're asking for help. And then people ask who you voted for, and then people will say Trump. And there's this disconnect about why people are upset that they voted for Trump versus they're losing their business. And so that's another action that I see that's happening largely by Black people on the social media trends that I follow.
We're talking with Rabbi Sandra Lawson. She recently published a Substack essay, Why Some Black Folks Are Sitting This One Out, and That's Okay. And we're referring to the recent protests against the Trump administration all across America and right here in central and southern Illinois. What are you telling colleagues and allies about trying to stay safe in this moment?
You know, this is interesting because I sit, I wear multiple hats. I am a rabbi. And, you know, I know this wasn't your question, but most of my conversations have to do with this administration's using anti-Semitism as a cudgel to deport people. So those are the conversations I'm mostly having with my colleagues. On the other side, though, when I talk to other folks who are not my colleagues, maybe I talked with them online, or Jews of color, Black and brown Jews, or other folks, there's a real safety concern when it comes to Black and other people of color. Many people feel like this particular president and administration will go after protest that will go after protesters who are Black, just from language that he said in his previous administration. And there is a real concern. Some of the white folks that I've talked to understand that, and are the ones who actively protest are more willing to be at the front of some of these protests to protect their Black and brown siblings.
Per the National Election Pool's exit poll, which was publicized by major news organizations, Kamala Harris captured 79% of the Jewish vote, a historically high margin. However, Donald Trump won a higher percentage of Jews than he did in 2020. Since taking office, Trump has taken aim at several universities, citing anti-Semitism following the 2023 Hamas attacks on Israel and subsequent protests. I asked Rabbi Sandra Lawson about whether some Jewish people feel like they are being used as a talking point by the Trump administration.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is one of the definitions of anti-Semitism. And let me break it down, try to break it down quickly. So when you look at racism, particularly anti-Black racism in our society, is all about capitalism. It's all about capitalism. But anti-Semitism in our society is a wedge. So let's use Jews to create division in our society and culture. For example, Project Esther, which from what I can tell is the blueprint for what's happening on these college what's happening on college campuses and what's happening with folks that are using or with the administration using anti-Semitism as a reason to deport these folks. And Project Esther, which is claims to protect Jews, was not written by Jews. And from what I can tell, the one Jewish organization that was involved with Project Esther has been pushed to the sidelines. So these are Christians, predominantly white, right-leaning Christians, deciding what's good for us as Jews. And also Project Esther only targets left-wing anti-Semitism. It does not target right-wing anti-Semitism, which historically right-wing anti-Semitism is inherently more dangerous than left-wing anti-Semitism, largely because right-wing anti-Semitism is core to the belief system of right-wing extremists.
Thinking of the Tree of Life shooting a few years back in Pittsburgh.
Right. And don't get me wrong, both are bad. Left-wing anti-Semitism and right-wing anti-Semitism, both bad, but they function very, very differently.
A lot of Black creators online are saying that participating in hands-off protests will encourage President Trump to invoke martial law. Are you hearing that as well?
Oh, totally. I'm totally hearing it. From his own language and what he has said he wants to do. And I do think if Black people show up in droves, that the president will use, you know, whatever he feels that is at his disposal to shut down these protests. And I do think it would be violent. And that's really, you know, that's very sad. And so, like, I'm excited for my white siblings, colleagues, friends that are out in the street protesting. And I also think it's okay for people who don't feel that it's safe to do so.
Rabbi Lawson, where do we go from here? And how do you see your own protest taking shape as the Trump administration progresses? And what issues are you focused on?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, because it's hard to keep up. This administration keeps throwing stuff. I am really, today, these days, I am very, very concerned about the Trump administration's, what they are calling anti-Semitism policies that don't actually, I believe that this, the roadmap that this administration is creating, where it claims to protect Jews, is only going to wind up hurting us. And in the end, Jews will be blamed, because they will say, well, we're doing this to protect Jews. And we will be blamed for this. And so I'm spending a lot of time thinking about and helping to educate folks on these policies and how they are not designed to protect Jews, and how they were written by largely right-leaning white Christians for their own goals.
Do you see a point in time where Black activists will be encouraged to get back into the streets?
Oh, yeah. But I just think it's going to be different. I think you're going to see a lot of Black activism, whether or not it's going to be covered or not by the news is one thing or another. But I do see it. I see it a lot. I just don't see it. I mean, let me rephrase that. I see protests a lot in the Black community. It's just not looking the way I think people are sort of trained to see protest. For example, like what's happening with Target. Black folks are using their dollars, their money to decide where to go. I also think you're going to see more people enrolling in HBCUs. In fact, I had a conversation yesterday with another Black rabbi who we were talking about. You're going to see more Jews, more Black Jews going to HBCUs.
There's an old saying, when you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Is there a concern that because Black people are not at the more visible protests, that their issues will be pushed aside?
Well, that's already happening. That was one of the biggest complaints about these particular protests. They had already sidelined Black issues. And one of the reasons that Black, one of the many, many reasons Black people didn't participate is that their issues were not on the forefront. And so historically, that continues to happen, that Black issues are always pushed to the side. And, you know, I think many people also feel that the Democratic Party, these are not necessarily my feelings, but people feel like the Democratic Party continues to seek Black folks, but we're not seeing any results from that.
Last question, if someone in the Black community is contemplating whether to protest or not, what is your advice?
I tell them to do what's comfortable for them. And I also encourage them to, you know, educate themselves if they're protesting in their own state, to learn about the policies in their state, make sure they understand who's in office, learn which organizations are at the forefront. Education is the best way to make those decisions. And if they're not comfortable protesting, if they're not comfortable actively being on the streets protesting, that's fine. But they should find another way to make their voice heard. And if they do, I tell them to, you know, just in case, write someone's phone number on their body, or remember somebody's phone number in case they do get arrested. If they have a lawyer, have their lawyer's phone number as well. And also make sure that people know where they are.
That was Rabbi Sandra Lawson. She recently published a Substack essay, Why Some Black Folks Are Sitting This One Out, and That's Okay. And that's all for this edition of Dialogue. Dialogue and Illinois Soul are part of Illinois Public Media, a service of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I'm Reginald Hardwick. Thank you for joining us. We leave you now with more music from Rabbi Lawson.
A long time, because time doesn't stand still. When I was young, I didn't understand the pain of your life. And now I'm old and wise, and the distance is too far now, and we've grown so far apart. Because time doesn't stand still. Everything is fine. We know it's not, because time doesn't stand still. I've spent so many years hiding from you, and yes, I know tell the truth, and I've been waiting.